It is another hour of What's on Your Mind. With Steve Bach and I'm Scott Hamlin, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Last hour, we talked a lot about the superintendent in Tioga, North Dakota, that has tendered his resignation at the end of the upcoming school year, this school year, at the end of next summer, June, because he made a decision to bring a gun into the school. And now, you know, obviously, it was against the law. By the way, you know, one thing I've noticed in this debate, the North Dakota School Boards Association's president, John Martinson, executive director, I guess, of the association, said his organization interprets state law to say that school boards in North Dakota already could authorize weapons in school. Our position is we hope they don't, he says, and I don't know if any of them have, but they do have that ability right now. So maybe we don't need a law, is at least their interpretation. I'm not sure why the School Board Association is against this, and they're part of the reason it's not a law. But anyway, that was a hot topic. Steve and I have the opinion that the community ought to rally to the support of this superintendent, so we'd like to know what you're thinking about that. We have some folks weighing in by email, upset that Heidi Heitkamp has shut down her website in response to the government shutdown. So see if anybody else agrees or disagrees with that. There is a report, by the way, that John Boehner is proposing some sort of short-term fix for the debt ceiling increase. This is sort of the Ryan plan that's been emerging the last couple of days, and they would do a short-term increase in the debt ceiling to allow a negotiation to happen between now and November.
And the Democratic side is a one-year. They want to push it back 1 year, and that's what the White House is supporting, is that Democratic plan of a one-year pushback on the debt ceiling.
Would that have anything to do with getting things past the November 2014 election, do you think,
Steve? I'm thinking maybe that I might know. Just do that.
Call me just a little suspicious on this whole deal. Anyway, bottom of this hour, Randy Christman, North Dakota Public Service Commission member, will join Steve and I. We'll talk about a concern he has on grain elevators related to the farm bill. In the meantime, you tell us what's on your mind at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Here's a call that couldn't wait. Came in during the news break.
I guess I have two simple questions that I would like to have answered. Number one, do you believe that compromise actually occurs within our government, or do you believe it's deal-making? I believe they're two distinctly different concepts when you really think about deal-making versus compromise. And number two, do you agree or believe that what's happening right now within our federal government is a cause for term limits? Do you see any benefits to that? What are the negatives to that? I would just like to be able to have some simple, straightforward answers to those two questions. I have a lot more, but unfortunately, I'm sure they can't air them all. It would take the next 4 hours. Thank you. Bye.
The man after your own heart, Steve. He wants term limits.
I'm not opposed to them. I'm really not, because that would take us back to a citizen legislature, and I'm a big fan of that. In North Dakota, how can that be a bad thing on the federal level? You know, set up your terms. It's like, you know what, once you're in the House, you can run for the Senate or vice versa or a higher office. But, you know, it would get more people involved in the process instead of, you know, those backdoor deals from the good old boy network or, frankly, a lot of nepotism that takes place in Washington. Let's get back to the phones. Vernon in Williston, what's on your mind today?
Carter Williston. I'm trying to, we're going to have a meeting on proposed property tax levy increase for Williams County of 21.73%. That's mill levy. We're having a special meeting to discuss that and the alternatives. On Monday, October 14th, which is the day prior to the commissioner's meeting about this increase, at the Williston Community Library, 1302 Davison Drive, Williston, North Dakota. We'll also have a guest speaker on the alternatives of increasing property tax. Go ahead.
The Williams County Commission is meeting on that on Tuesday, aren't they?
Right, that is correct.
So your meeting is ahead of the Williams County Commission meeting?
Yes, we're going to try to generate some interest and also to inform the public what I guess the term to be used would be what's really going on. See, we're not only faced with that 21.73, but we're also faced with a 27.12% increase from Williston Public School District number one. So we're looking at a total of about 48% increase in our mill levy. And we understand that there is monies actually available in the state that we're not getting for whatever reason. And there's monies there. So what they're doing is coming back to the citizens to get more out of them. And there's alternatives to that.
What are they saying that the increase is for, other than obviously that, you know, you're proposing other alternatives rather than taking from the citizens? Why do they say they need it? What are they going to do with it?
Well, according to the Williston Public School District, they have a shortfall of $5 to $6 million. and that needs to be covered. Why do they have that shortfall? Because apparently the state or the state and federal have decreased the amount of grants that they were supposed to receive by about, you know, $5 to $6 million. And so here we are hung with the bill, so to speak. And then as far as the increase in property tax for the Williams County is the expansion that's going on. Apparently, the legislature did not give us enough money on this end, or not allot us enough to do what we need to do. And then we find out that, well, they allocated $2 billion for western part of North Dakota. And I'm just asking a simple question. What happened to it? How come we're not getting it?
Glad you're on top of this. Invite concerned citizens to share your concern to come out Monday again, the library, and then the commission meeting is happening on Tuesday night, and we'll get all sides of this debate on and make sure folks know what's going on and have a say on it. But I appreciate you letting us know. And again, what time on Monday night at the library?
Monday night, October 14th, 7 p.m.
All right, very good. Thanks, Vern. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Kevin in Minot. You're next on What's on Your Mind. Kevin?
Hi. I have some things that were just irritating me with this current situation on the shutdown. Number one, it seems like the current administration is using it as a ploy to further their agenda, that being that they can hold everybody hostage and still give the special interest their kickbacks. By that I mean like the national monuments being closed. The veterans can't go see their memorials, but they allow the immigration reform rally, which was a big event. And then the whole shutdown about, you know, nobody can use anything and these employees are off work. However, they've already said they're going to pay them all their back money. So are we just funding their vacation now? That's all
you're
I
right
have
to be. I'm with you. I'm with you. And you're right to be ticked. And it's obviously a big poke in the eye, without question.
And Congressman Kramer brought this up as well. You know, why shouldn't they still be working if they're going to get paid on the backside of this anyway? You know, pay for the productivity, pay for not the unproductivity. Tom in Devil's Lake, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning. I want to weigh in on that educator that carried a gun to school. You know, you know what? If you're against that, you are for the bad guys. That's all I got to say. And that's just the way it is. Pure and simple. There's no gray area, no ifs, ands, or buts. If you're against the good guys carrying guns, you're for the bad guys. Period.
I have a hard time disagreeing with you. And I want to know from the school board perspective, why is the North Dakota School Board Association against this? You know, I mean, the superintendent, Tioga, wrote a letter in favor of the law. David Ross, the retired superintendent for the school district, who's now a member of the legislature, they supported the legislation, and has said, again, schools should be able to make the decision about concealed weapons, particularly for remote North Dakota districts that are a greater distance from law enforcement. You know, I think the North Dakota School Boards Association is the ones that ought to be called to task here. And by the way, they're involved in this. You know, they were the ones that were called immediately when it was found out that the superintendent had a gun and suggested an immediate investigation. And so they're in the middle of this. But I take offense to them saying that they think it's a bad idea. Here was the quote from John Martinson. If he felt his personal safety was in jeopardy, he should have immediately called law enforcement and not brought a gun to school. So they're taking up the side against him. But I don't know why they're arguing against this. It irks me.
to tell you the truth.
We have made the point, Steve, however, if the community rallies behind this guy, not only will common sense prevail and he'll stay in that position knowing his heart was in the right place on this issue to try and protect the school, given a threat, specific threat from a student that he had informed the day before that he was going to expel, but maybe it'll prompt some common sense on schools being allowed to do this again. School Board Association, even though they disagree with it, they think schools now have the ability to do this. So maybe we shouldn't wait for a law for common sense to prevail. I don't know. You tell us.
Yeah, the school districts just need to weigh in.
800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. All right. Dave Minot, Roger Williston, Bob Grafton, Jamie Bismarck, Mark Grant Forks, all to come when we come back.
Scott and Steve will be right back with What's on Your Mind. Call now, 800-228-0550.
Hunt with Heroes. This Pheasant Opener, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, Saturday, October 12th, the Zeeland Project for Wounded Warriors. A very special day in Zeeland, North Dakota, honoring our soldiers. The day kicks off with a pheasant hunt at 8 a.m., followed by an adult and youth trap shoot tournament at 2, with great prizes including shotgun for the top prize. Refuel at 5 at an old-fashioned hog roast and relax at the Freedom Concert, featuring Nashville recording artists Michael Lusk and Morgan Seymour. Purchase a raffle ticket for your chance to win a one-of-a-kind guitar signed by Loretta Lynn, Randy Travis, and more, or bid on a variety of silent auction items. The Zeeland Project for Wounded Warriors. Advance tickets are only $20 and available at the Quencher and Hag, the last resort in Zeeland, or online now at StopSmellNow.com, or call 701-851-0023. Tickets available day of the event at Zeeland City Hall, too. All proceeds benefit the Wounded Warrior families. Mark your calendars, Saturday, October 12th. Spend the day at a hero's hunt in Zeeland, North Dakota, for this pheasant opener.
In North Dakota, water is a precious resource. That's why giving water new life through recycling is important. Learn how North Dakota is using new ways to recycle and conserve water by attending the Garrison Diversion Water Reuse and Recycling Conference, Wednesday, October 16th, at the Ramada Plaza Suites and Conference Center in Fargo. It's free, but pre-registration is requested. Register by calling the Garrison Diversion at 701-652-3194. That's 701-652-3194.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Studio to What's On Your Mind, radio.com. I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Hedden. Full phones coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk with Randy Christman. He is from the Public Service Commission, and we're going to discuss some issues related to the Farm Bill, some rate increases questions we had from earlier this week, and something that Randy wanted to point out concerning elevators here in North Dakota. Part of the discussion that potentially could be an issue for agriculture here in North Dakota. Let's go back to the phone, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Dave in Minot, what's on your mind?
To the rhetoric, the debt limit being a de facto reason for default, and some of the pushback that I've been hearing is, I'm encouraged by that it doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be a default. And some of that must be having an effect, because I heard this morning, even on Fox News, that the administration's pushing back on that rhetoric, saying that prioritizing the payment of debt is the same thing as default in their eyes. So I just want to know, which is it?
What do you want to have happen, Dave? If you were in the middle of the room there, what would be your advice to your lawmakers?
I'd say do not, under any circumstances, raise the debt ceiling, period.
You've got to use these levers to wake these people up, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, the president's going out of his way to try and talk this thing down and talk it over the cliff so he could say, see, I told you so. But, you know, Tom Coburn and some others have said, look, you know, lay out a plan. Explain that, you know, I think that Kevin Cramer was telling us the other day that the first major debt payment is like due in mid-November. So there's not even a huge, there were some smaller ones, but you would obviously prioritize what needed to be paid while you go through the debate.
Well, what are your thoughts on that news report? I'm sure you probably heard it. I think I heard it on one of your affiliates, the Fox News this morning. They're talking about the administration. They're coming back on this talk now about prioritizing debt, and they're saying that equates to default.
Well, again, this is the equivalent of barricading World War II memorials for the shutdown. They want to put out the extreme view, and you know, unless you push back on it, I wish North Dakotans would melt Senator Heidi Heitkamp's phones. She finally decided to put somebody on the phones, evidently shamed into it because Congressman Cramer had been taking her calls all week. Her website's shut down, and say, you know, look, from all the rhetoric we heard during the campaign, how about you march into Harry Reid's office and actually put your money where your mouth is?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, rather than just sing all this rhetoric of the left and you know, how horrible Republicans are, go in there, you know, get in the middle of this thing, roll up the sleeves, and figure something out.
Yeah, instead,
instead, her website says the same thing the Park Service does. Sorry, government shutdown. We can't update our website. Give me a break. Doesn't seem very North Dakota to me. Appreciate the call, Dave. And I'd have everybody work, too, because as Congressman Cramer said, hey, I'm working and my staff's working because they're going to get paid anyway.
They're going to get paid. You know, pay the productivity, not the unproductivity. Let's go to Bob in Grafton. What's on your mind today, Bob?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I spoke earlier a little bit, but this school, armed school security issue is such a passion for me. I have, you know, children that are in school, and they ask me a lot about this. And, you know, I'm going to get with Mark, the Freedom Poet, later, and you, Scott, if you'd like, I can give you my phone number, my personal number offline. I'm going to launch a volunteer service called, I want to call it VEST, V-E-S-T, Volunteer Emergency School Team. That way they can't say, we don't have enough money. I mean, we have volunteer fire departments in small towns and out in the rural areas. So I'm going to get together, and I'm going to try to get something going here to where we can get an organization, you know, nonprofit, whatever, volunteer organization, so that there's no excuse whatsoever why we couldn't have, well, we couldn't fund or afford to have armed personnel. You only need one, at least. Just one. Just a little show of force. One. In these public schools to protect these children. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to launch a volunteer service called, I'm going to call it VEST, Volunteer Emergency School Team.
Here would be a little advice for what it's worth. According to the School Board Association, school boards, individual school boards right now have the authority to do this. So maybe start in Grafton, since you're from Grafton, and talk some. It will take one. It'll just take one to do this and get it going. Appreciate your passion, Bob. Thanks. Daryl, Glenn Byrne, you're next on What's on Your Mind.
Well, I was listening to Dave there. I agree with him. If we're going to fix this problem, let's force the Senate to present a budget. And then we'll know where we stand, and then you can do your work from a budget. You can't run a household without a budget. And if you want to call Heidi, you want to talk to her, I've emailed her everything else. That is a total waste of time. We are wasting our money there big time.
What is a sad statement that is, Daryl, that it's a waste of time to call a elected member of your congressional delegation.
Yeah, but they're going to retire with full benefits, and they took mine away. Anyway, what I really called about is this teacher in Tioga. Why don't we kill two birds with one stone? Why don't we deputize the teacher and they are authorized? If you have a permit to carry, you become a temporary deputy for the school season and you are authorized. And you don't have to put up with this other crap. If you want to work at the state fair, they hire all kinds of people down there during the fair week and there's no big issue.
Good point, Daryl. But the problem is not all teachers, not all individuals in a school would want to be deputized or want that responsibility. And I don't think you can force somebody into a position of that responsibility unless they want to embrace that position.
When he's won, and there are enough good North Dakotans left that I do believe that would not be a problem.
All right, Daryl, we'll see if others agree with you. Appreciate the call. Vera Kenmare, you're next on What's on Your Mind.
Hello, good morning. I'm the superintendent. He should be commended. He was willing to put his life on the line because he thought he might have a problem. And shame on this school board. Who do we have in the school board, for crying out loud? There's, you know, when you have a carry permit concealed and you have a problem like this, you lose it. He does not deserve that. And I think people need to go to bat for him. I really do.
And that's where the community steps up, Vera. I couldn't agree with you more. Thanks for weighing in. One more quick phone call. Mark, what's on your mind today?
I agree with the last caller. Support the educator from Tioga. I believe, like many, that we have leaders in the federal government and state government who represent a clear and present danger to our Constitution and Bill of Rights. Therefore, we must educate K through 12 kids about the Constitution, Bill of Rights, because now they've been led to believe that tyranny happens somewhere over there, not in America. It is happening in America. We have kids who, when they graduate, can go into the military and be in situations even worse than a school shooting. Therefore, we should have elective marksmanship training for students in 7th through 12th grade. 12th graders should be working with police departments and with educators who are armed. And we could have a database with the police that could work together, train together, and have an effective Second Amendment self-defense force. Because, of course, the Second Amendment is about defending ourselves, our property, and our families independent of the state. See, we want to do that ourselves. That's the Second Amendment.
And the outcome would be safer schools, less of these horrific incidents that we hear about. Mark, appreciate the call and the passion on the topic. More on What's on Your Mind, straight ahead. Don't go.
Steve Buchan and Scott Hennin want to know, what's on your mind? Call us at 800-228-0550.
Hey, folks, Scott Hennin here with a special invite for you to take advantage of a premier Minnesota resort. You've heard me over the years talk about Chase on the Lake, Leech Lake, Walker, Minnesota. Well, I want you to experience it. And if you go to chaseonthelake.com, you'll get some pictures. You'll see the condos, the beautiful 2 and 3 bedroom condos. You'll see the facility. You'll see the beautiful lake and the view and the 502 restaurant and all the charm of the lodging and the fun, the Comprador Aveda Spa. You'll see what I'm talking about the moment you go to chaseonthelake.com. But you really can't understand it until you stay there and you just experience it and relax. How's this for a great deal? Your pocketbook will relax any Sunday through Thursday in September, October. If you book one night in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath classic condo, get your second night free. No kidding. That's right. Any Sunday or Thursday, book one night in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath classic condo, get the second night free. Use the promo code Scott at ChaseOnTheLake.com or call them now, 888-242-7306. Chase on the Lake.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp USA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. The National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, presented by Triton Shelter Technologies, is the only national event designated for the prepper community. October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Admission is free, and the doors open at 9 a.m. Join us and learn life-saving tips that can help you and your family handle crisis situations. Special guests include Kevin O'Brien from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, David Crawford, author of Lights Out, the director and cast members from the movie Lights Out Saga, and more. Special guest speakers include GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach, along with Dr. Bones, Nurse Amy, and Tom Martin, the director of the American Preppers Network, two-time Field and Stream champion Chad Weatherford, along with many other leading experts from around the country. Join us for the country's largest emergency preparedness event, absolutely free, October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information, visit npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
We have not heard from South Dakota today yet on the program, so I think we better check that box before we go to our next guest on the What's on Your Mind, Steve. Where are you at in South Dakota?
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Did you get snow where you were in South Dakota?
No, I'm in the northeast corner. So
you know, I want to apologize for something. I posted earlier on our Facebook page a photo that I thought was from a trusted fellow Facebook friend about this huge amount of snow in South Dakota, but I've been punked. It actually was somewhere in Japan or something, or what? Where was it again? So anyway, that photo that we said, wow, look at all that snow in South Dakota. There was a lot of snow in some parts of South Dakota and North Dakota, but it wasn't quite that bad. So anyway.
45 inches in Lee, not 45 feet.
Right. We're just fortunate in this particular area that we didn't get what they had out there, and I feel very sorry for those people, and hopefully they can resolve all their issues and get on with life. But the purpose of what I was calling this morning about was, you know, there's a lot of emotions, both Republican, Democrats, and those that are constitutional type of people. But we're still a republic. And, you know, if the representatives would go back to the people and the people would be able to sign some kind of a document or whatever it would be and say, you know, this is what we're voting. We're voting this way, and present it back to Congress, and they'd have to listen to the people. I know there's a lot of emotions on both sides. I hear it here, and I hear it from my friends in other areas of the country. And, yes, it is a very emotional situation that's going on. But we have to realize what's behind it all. And what's behind it all is a lot of deception. And we as the people are in a position, and it appears that our government has not allowed us to really, I shouldn't say allow, but I should say we're just, you know, we don't have to be out in the streets all day long to the top of our voice, but we do have a place, which is being in the republic, that this is a republic, and that we can voice our opinions and we can make a vote. And if each state would have a group that would get together and vote against those things that are going on in Washington, well, they'd have to hear us. And that was my point this morning. So.
Steve, thanks for weighing in. Nice to hear from South Dakota this morning. We did, during the break, get a phone call in. One more comment on the Tioga superintendent we'd like to get to before our guest, Randy Christman, coming up next. But can we roll that comment?
Gentlemen, this is Stephen Johnson from Grafton, North Dakota. Got a quick question about that superintendent that brought his firearm to school to help protect if needed. Just curious, how many kids were killed by that firearm that was in that school? The way I understand it, nobody was hurt, nobody was injured, everybody was safe. I don't know how it was found out that he had a firearm, if he told somebody or whatever, but you know what? I feel them kids were safer in that school that day that he had that firearm. You have a good day.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Dan and Bismarck, last call before we go to Randy. Tell us what's on your mind.
Hey, good morning. I just called Senator Heitkamp's office, and, of course, I got the message that it's shut down due to the government shutdown. I think whoever is going to run against her in the next election should have a recording of that, and that would make an excellent campaign ad. That during the shutdown, everybody knows her staff is going to be paid eventually, but where are they? They're all home. They're not responding to the constituents of North Dakota. If you call her office, you get nothing. You go to her website, you get nothing. I think that's a powerful message to be used against her in the next election.
Dan, thanks for weighing in.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, let's get to our guest, Randy Chrisman from the Public Service Commission. Randy, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You and I were having a little discussion about elevators, and that falls under your portfolio. For those who don't know, and one of the reasons I lean so much on the Public Service Commission is they've got their fingers into so much stuff in North Dakota, from the siting with the energy sector, from the agriculture sector. There's a little part with railroads. Elevators are a big part of this. What did I miss?
The public utilities and rate cases and gas and electricity, things like that, siting of all the different transmission lines and some pipelines.
Wanted to talk
coal, coal reclamation.
The coal reclamation is a big part, too. One of the things we wanted to talk about today was the elevators. And you were telling me that we need to be a little guarded concerning grain elevators and elevators in general here in North Dakota. What is your concern?
It is. And first of all, you know, I'll acknowledge this present as exciting a topic as the government shutdown or a gun being in the school.
It is the agriculture.
The reality is we have 30,000 ag producers in North Dakota, and I don't know the number, but a lot of those produce some type of grain or seed, and their livelihoods are dependent on making sure that they get paid for that grain or seed. I've learned a lot about the situation that we face here. And I don't want to create a big fear out there. I don't think our grain dealers are any more vulnerable than probably every other business that these people do business with. But I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what protection there is. And just a couple of statistics before I get into it. You know, we have less than half as many grain facilities in the state that we did 50 years ago. And yet we have more than tripled the capacity that we have in grain warehouses.
Is that just a case of them growing, though? Is that a case of them just, it's a business, and they grow and have been successful and they have gotten larger?
And merged together, and you know, the small guys go away and the big guys get bigger. So the average facility is about seven times as big, but as far as competition for where a producer is going to take his or her product, there's less than half as many competitors as there were 50 years ago. And so that's a concern, and I just wanted to lay that out there, because in the case when one does fail, it's the old adage, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And that goes with grain facilities, too. When something that's seven times as big falls, it's a lot bigger problem than years ago when we had just lots of these small facilities. So I've been working on this, and over the years, there's always been insolvencies from time to time, and there's nothing new there. It's like I say, it's just that they're getting more dramatic, and I think farmers are not always understanding what protection is available to them. They hear there's a bond at the Public Service Commission, and so I think some people somehow think that will just cover everything. That is absolutely not the case. Our main means of being able to make a farmer whole if a grain storage facility goes under is to capture that grain. The bond is just a little something extra, you know, in case there's some spoilage or something like that, or the market has dropped a little. The bond is typically nowhere near enough. So a few of the key points that I'm wanting to get out there, first of all, is that, again, I don't mean to create unnecessary alarm. These are typically just as strong as any other business. Even a strong grain facility could go under if they make a bad deal. So you might think you know that your local grain dealer is on pretty solid ground, but you know, if they ship a trainload of grain somewhere and don't get paid for it, then how solid a ground are they going to be in? And we're dealing in trainloads these days. And so a lot can happen, even to a good, well-run facility. And like I said, our laws are designed primarily to get grain back. And, you know, 50, 100 years ago, most of this grain went into town. People stored it until they decided what to do with it. And it just sat there. And that's how our laws are kind of designed around, is that that grain is there. And if something goes wrong, we'll go down and capture that grain and make up any losses with the bond. But nowadays, these grain elevators are bigger. They're turning that over frequently. And if farmers don't take an action, that grain is gone. And by the time we hear about it, there's hardly anything left for us to capture. So once the grain is gone, it's gone. Once it's out of state, I mean, it is gone. And farmers need to understand that they can either take the grain into town, and you can store it. I mean, that's still an option at some places. But if you're selling it, it's either a cash sale, and they should be paid relatively soon, or they need to sign a contract. If farmers sign a contract, we have an indemnity fund that will hold them whole, or 80% it will cover, up to $280,000. So if they would sign contracts, that would take care of a lot of the problem. The other thing is, if they don't, they need to make sure they get paid. Not necessarily every load, you know, immediately as they're leaving with the truck, but they can't wait months and months either. And I think that is where a lot of our ag producers are going wrong. They're looking at these grain elevators as a bit of a tax planning tool. We take our grain in August or September. We don't want them to write out a check because we might want to hold that over till next year. We don't want to sign a contract because we might buy something yet this year and need the money. And so we put everything on hold, and that goes for too long a period of time. The grain is gone. If something goes wrong, we can't help them anymore.
So your advice here, it sounds like, Randy, is to, number one, sign a contract. And if you don't want a contract for it, at least keep a close tab on how long a time before you deliver the grain that you get paid.
Yep. Either get your money or get a contract signed. But when this stuff just sets and too much time goes by, it is an awful dangerous situation for these ag producers.
If you have a question or comment for Randy Crispin, Public Service Commission member, on this topic or any other, we welcome your calls at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, or studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Is there any concern here over the Farm Bill expiration connected to this, Randy?
Not so much. There is a little bit of a connection, and I'm not so familiar with how this even works, but there are some situations where the federal government, I believe, buys like peas and beans on contracts, and I do think there's some of those that are out there that have been shipped to them, and now grain dealers are waiting for their money. But, you know, I think we all know that they're going to get it here eventually, or we certainly all hope. So that's not really, this isn't so connected to any federal programs or anything having to do with the federal government, other than the income tax system, maybe, that a lot of farmers use this as tax planning.
What are some of the examples of recent failures or close failures that we've had with grain elevators here in the state?
Well, the only one we've had, the only insolvency that we've had this year is Earth Harvest Mills over at Harvey. And that's the only one. We have a few older cases that we're still working on trying to close out and get people as much of their money as possible. These things drag on far too long, but it's what it takes with our legal system in order to try and get every dollar back possible for these producers.
Randy Crispin on What's On Your Mind.
On Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
There's a lot of big equipment all throughout the Bakken that costs a lot of money. Big rigs that are expensive. And you know what? My friends at Legacy Steel Buildings would like to help you protect those assets. The closer you look at Legacy Steel, the better they look, because they're the industry leader in providing superior quality, service, and durability at the most competitive prices. If you think that's just talk, call them for a free price quote, and you'll find out why thousands of folks, when they need everything from a trucking warehouse to a garage workshop, airplane hangar, a church, warehouse, horse barn, arenas, anything, any kind of building, place of worship, classroom building, police station, they call Legacy Steel Buildings when they ask for Bach and Bruce. Tell them Scott sent you. And when you do, congratulate them for being the North Dakota Exporter of the Year. The North Dakota Exporter of the Year, because they're doing business in 100 countries around the world, and they're doing it well from the great state of North Dakota. Bach and Bruce, 800-237-9620. Tell them Scott sent you. Truckers, if you're headed for the Bakken, remember the best truck wash in the Bakken is the Hurricane Truck Wash. And Anthony's on the phone to tell us why the Hurricane's the best. Anthony, deep cleaning process means you do it better than anybody else, right?
We sure do. We specialize in the Bakken mud. Something that we've learned since we've been in North Dakota is that this mud is harder than it is anywhere else in the world. We developed the process in order to cut that. Not only do we have a great cleaning process, we also have a great lounge for our customers. We want you guys to come in, relax, see our facility, see what makes us the best. Not only that you leave here with a clean truck, we have great personality. We want you to know that we appreciate your business, and we're showing you that by giving you free food, free drinks, a good lounge, free Wi-Fi, and we also have a shower facility that you can use anytime.
Mention you heard this ad on the radio. Get a free engine wash plus the free VIP access as well with all the goodies and, of course, local shuttle service, too, so it's a great way to go. South of the Senex, or look for the signs off Highway 8 at Stanley, North Dakota, the Hurricane Truck Wash, the best of the best. Tell them you heard it on the radio. Get a great deal. The Hurricane Truck Wash, Stanley, North Dakota.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new EPAC 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
When the day comes where the world changes forever, you can be ready at a moment's notice. With Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's completely mobile and ready to go. All the comforts of an RV, but custom-built to outlast any other trailer. Learn more at survivalistcamps.com. Due to overwhelming response, limited inventory is available. Be ready with survivalistcamps.com. Survivalist Camps, providing your basic needs to survive.
You're the kind of person who makes smart choices and is always prepared. That's why the PrepMart.com is perfect for you. Cook a great backyard meal with steam in about an hour with the Can Cooker Jr. Normally $74, on sale now for just $64.95. It's great for camping and emergencies, and batteries are on sale. Up to 10% off our low prices right now at thepretmart.com. Great customer service you can trust. Get prepared at thepretmart.com. That's thepretmart.com.
Another North Dakota Farm Bureau Ag Minute. Why do farmers do what they do? That's the questions you've asked. Don from the North Dakota Farm Bureau is here to answer your questions.
Don, why do so many farmers think factory farms are okay?
Most farmers don't even use the words factory farm. It is most often used by people who want to alarm others about the methods used in farming and ranching that they don't agree with. Truth be told, most American farms are family farmers, about 97%. And those 97% supply 86% of all U.S. ag products sold. One perfect example of a mislabeled factory farm is Feedyard foodie blogger Ann Burkholder of Nebraska. You can find a link to her factory farmer or faithful farmer post at ndfb.org/iamagriculture.
Thanks, Don. We want to know what questions you have about agriculture and why farmers do what they do. Submit your questions by going to ndfb.org and clicking on the Contact Us link at the top of the page. That's today's What's on Your Mind Ag Minute, brought to you by the North Dakota Farm Bureau.
And by the way, we want to thank the North Dakota Farm Bureau, a regular sponsor of ours here on the What's on Your Mind, your state, your future, your Farm Bureau. Check out everything that they have to offer when you go to ndfb.org, ndfb.org. Continuing our chat with Randy Christman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission in a moment here, we do have some breaking news. As I mentioned earlier, there were some rumors this morning that House Republican leaders were going to be offering a short-term increase in the debt ceiling. That's come to pass. They will be offering a bill authorizing a temporary increase in the debt ceiling in exchange for discussions on reopening the government and funding the budget. The bill would avoid a looming federal government default, as some people have predicted from meeting that debt ceiling date. But it would not end the 10-day-old government shutdown, as the White House has demanded. So we'll continue to follow that story as we go throughout the day. We're talking with Randy Christman. North Dakota Public Service Commission is here, yeah. And we had a couple other questions we had to tackle yet with him. All right, Steve?
Yeah, actually, I want to get a little bit, we only have a few minutes left, but I wanted to get briefly into the contracts. How does the contract side of this work?
Well, and that's really one of the key points here. Farmers don't want to take their money right away. If they will sign a contract, a credit sale contract, then we have the indemnity fund, and it's not taxpayer money. That fund was created by farmers years ago by a tax that was imposed on their grain, and so other people didn't contribute to it. But that covers, if there is a loss, up to 80% of what the loss, up to $280,000. So up to $350,000 sale would the 80% would be $280,000. That's the cap on that. And so for most producers, you know, that's going to cover, again, 80% of whatever it is they lost. Much safer way than just putting off a decision for such a long period of time. And they can get that whether they are doing that contract through a typical grain warehouse or through a roving grain buyer. And that's one thing I didn't touch on much. There are the roving grain buyers, and there's a lot of them that are really good players and provide a really good opportunity for another market potential for producers. But I'll tell you, a roving grain buyer by nature has no facility. So when you sell to them, realize that grain is leaving, and so if something happens to them, it's probably not going to be available for us to capture to help the farmer be made whole again. I would really advise people to get their money relatively soon. And if they're not, anytime you're dealing with grain buyers, if you're asking for your money and they're putting you off, if they need another couple weeks or something like that, call us, because the sooner that we can engage this process, probably the less number of victims there might be and the less dramatic for each of them.
Randy, another question on a different topic. We had a caller earlier in the week call about concern over a pending rate request, a rate increase request, rather, from NDU. Is there something before the Public Service Commission from NDU right now for a rate increase?
They have submitted a claim, and that's about as far as it's gone. These take a long time. You know, we'll appoint an advocacy staff to be looking at it and have hearings to get input from citizens from around the MDU service area. Keep in mind, there's not been a gas rate case since I've been on the commission, and previous to this, I've always lived up in Mercer County, and we don't have natural gas up there. So it's a little bit of a learning experience for me. I know one of the big concerns is that why would there be a gas rate increase when natural gas prices are so low? And I do know that gas rates are typically divided, that the rates that the commission allows for a retailer are divided between their fuel costs and then their other costs. The fuel costs are by far the overwhelming majority of it, and my understanding of this case, although we have not dug into it, is that it's not an increase for the fuel cost. It is for the other infrastructure. MDU has a lot of growth in Bismarck, up in the oil patch, a lot of activity in Minot. Regardless of where the growth is, it all has to be paid for, and it's the infrastructure cost that I believe they're seeking an increase.
We got about 20 seconds, Randy. You're going to rate school. What is rate school? That's where you learn how to modify these rates, isn't it?
It is. There's an association of public utility directors from around the country. It's called NARUC, and they have this rate school. And for newly elected, or in many cases appointed, officials, we come down and learn more about setting these rates and doing it right for the consumers.
Continuing education for the Public Service Commission, Randy Christman joining us today from the Public Service Commission. For Steve Bakken and Scott Hannon, this has been What's on Your Mind. Scott, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Have fun at school, Randy. That sounds like fun. Wait for you to go along. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you on a Friday edition of What's on Your Mind tomorrow, folks. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Wiedelsbacher.
In collaboration with South Dakota and Minnesota, the North Dakota Soybean Council is engaged in a project designed to change the way soybean buyers define protein quality. For many years, crude protein has been the conventional measure of soybean protein quality. Yet soybean farmers in our region have lower crude protein levels due to environmental conditions. Careful analysis through several years of research has shown that the protein quality of northern soybeans is much better thanks to their higher concentrations of essential amino acids. Thanks to your checkoff dollars, we are able to conduct this research and educate international buyers on the fact that amino acid content is the more complete and accurate indicator of soybean feeding value. This will ultimately lead to increased market share and higher returns to soybean farmers in this region.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs believes virtually all disease states can be backtracked to digestive problems.
Deficiencies in stomach acid can affect all downstream systems. Taking digestive enzymes can be amazingly helpful for dealing with deficiencies in stomach acid. Enzymes require low pH for activation. You can also use aloe vera juice, by the way. Sugars in aloe vera have a coating effect on the digestive system. Longevity has a cool product called Noni Plus, which is made from aloe and the noni fruit. It's tasty. It can also function to support digestive acidification of the stomach, and activation of digestive enzymes.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your digestive system by ordering Noni Plus from Longevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.